The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
To talk telly, we're joined tonight by Ed Smith, of course, host of Ed's
Head,
Songs
I like that.
And Phrase.
Yeah, CEO of my own show.
On Today FM every Sunday evening, Essential Listening 7 to 10.
Yes.
And our Head of Digital, Alison Healy, is with us as well. Now, we've been having a row during the break as to how much we can say about the Netflix programme Abducted in Plain Sight, because I've been telling Alison not to spoil it for those of us like me who haven't seen a single minute of it. And Alison's been trying to tell me that everybody has seen it and that we couldn't be doing a spoiler on it.
I just can't understand how you haven't seen it, Matt. You're supposed
because
to be
I don't spend my whole time watching television,
But you're
Alison.
Supposed to be up to date with the most current affairs and you're supposed to be the man who knows everything. Everyone's talking about this. Have you not felt
Are
left?
They?
Yes. Every yes. Ed, have my back here.
I've locked jaw still from watching this and I've, you know, I think when I rang you to tell you to watch it, you only got through half of it. Before you had to leave the house.
Okay, so look, I'm going to give you a tiny bit of detail, Matt.
We do have a clip, but we're not going to spoil this enough for people, are we?
For God's sake.
This is like announcing the result of a football match that people might have recorded to watch when
the
they get
home. The statute of limitations is up on this,
the football
surely.
Match.
No, it's not. It's the first time I've heard of this programme.
The football that's match didn't take place 4 weeks ago. This dropped over...
Were you abducted in plain sight, Matt, that you haven't seen?
Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that if the minute something drops on Netflix, given the amount of stuff that drops on Netflix, we're supposed to give up everything else and watch that? Sometimes Netflix is also useful for catching up on all the stuff you've missed, all those brilliant box sets you've spoken to us about in recent weeks.
That's to fill the time. You have a thing on the show called The Week in Trending and you don't even know what's trending, Matt. Play the clip.
Okay, alright, that's putting me back in my box. I'm abducted in plain sight.
I got the call in my FBI office in Pocatello, Idaho. I had been an agent for 6-7 years when this kidnapping took place. My partner and I left the office right away, went over to the Broberg's house, and we talked to them for several hours. Robert Berchtold was a close friend of theirs, a neighbor. He was a Pocatello businessman, a member of their LDS faith, a pillar in the community. He had lots of friends. They didn't suspect any type of foul play, even though it was 5 days.
Okay, is this documentary, not drama?
It's a documentary.
I thought it was a drama now, you see.
You didn't let me tell you what it was.
It's a documentary. It tells the story of a young Idaho girl called Jan Broberg who lives in a family, very white picket fence, typical Bob.
Yeah.
Runs a flower shop. He's stay-at-home mom. It's all ice cream, peaches and cream. And then a guy moves in next door called Bob, or as they call him, B. And he takes a particular shine to young Jan, who's only 12 at the time. And things descend into what I can only describe as one of the most banana stories I've ever seen. I was just coming on the back of Ted Bundy. So I was looking for something a bit, to take me down from the intensity of Ted Bundy. It makes Ted Bundy look like, I can't even tell, it makes it look like Room to Improve. This is a story that will absolutely blow your mind. And it's very rare that you come across a documentary where you're questioning the motives and the actions of the parents of the victim more so than you are of the criminal itself. That's all we can say.
Oh, well, that's all we're allowed to say. But that I'm really upset that you're not letting me talk about it a little bit more.
I'm thinking of the listeners, Alison.
Yeah, you're right.
Those people that you have now actually, you've induced them to go and actually see this programme. So we don't want to spoil it for them by
We've
telling
lured
them too
them.
Much.
Okay, well, Ed said he had lecture. I completely agree. I could not finish this in one night. I was able to do about 40 minutes and then it descends into utter lunacy. And every twist and turn gets more and more bizarre. I pressed pause, came in, checked with everybody that I wasn't on my own and that it is as crazy as it is. They said, yeah, went back, enjoyed it again the second time. Look, it's one of those things that you can't not watch, but you have to finish.
See, I was only last night, my TV producer, Siobhan, told me I have to watch Dirty John, which is also on Netflix at the moment. Have you watched that?
That's my pick of the week. Will we do that?
Well, yeah, okay, let's do that. That's your pick of the week. I didn't realise that was your pick of the week.
That's
okay.
My pick of the week.
But let's jump on, because I was told last night I have to watch it and that I would love it.
Did you listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, so the podcast on Ed's recommendation, he recommends a lot of good stuff, this Ed Smith. He recommended the podcast. It was out about a year and a half ago. It absolutely brilliant. It's a true crime podcast, very, very popular genre at the moment. Season 2 of the Now TV series is already in development, so there's a massive appetite for this.
Yeah, but this is a fictionalised account, isn't it?
It's supposed to be based on, yeah, they've been criticised because they have dramatised it so much. But in fairness, the two leading performances were both nominated for Critics' Choice and Golden Globes Award for Eric Bana, who plays the central male character, and Deborah Newell, played by Connie Britton. She's brilliant in this.
It's based on a story about LA Times journalist called Christopher Goffard wrote a story based around his character called John Meehan.
That's how he's pronounced in the podcast. Yeah.
And Deborah Newell is married four times, very wealthy woman. She's an interior designer. She has a couple of daughters, and she's still looking for love after, despite being married four times, she's still hopeful. She goes online to plenty of fish. This dream guy pops up called John
Meehan. She's very childlike.
He was a surgeon.
Anesthesiologist.
Sweeps her off her feet. And as you might imagine, things don't quite work out to her benefit or indeed to his. But it is a remarkable podcast. It was downloaded 10 million times.
Yeah,
in the first
that's the podcast. What about the TV show?
But this is what I'm getting to. What it is this is a drama based on a true story, which was told as a drama. So what you have here is a very dramatized version of the story that was cut up into different episodes on a podcast. I absolutely loved the podcast. I watched one or two episodes of the TV series. It's schlock. It is daytime soap
schlock.
No,
Ed. That's my pick of the week.
Well, there you go. You pick wrong. There it is. But I think it is schlocky. It isn't a patch on the podcast. And I think what made the podcast so good is that what makes radio so good. It's very much more intimate. It tells the story in its own pace. And you hear from the people involved itself. And they've really dramatized. They've made stuff up in the TV series that didn't happen in the podcast, in the true story.
You're such a Puritan. Like, yeah, you have to do it.
I like things to be good.
Not good. It just tells a different story. It's based on a true story. They're the key words, based on a true story. It looks great. It was shot well. Great cast. Good performances. It kept me hooked. And I'd already heard the podcast. And I think that's what they had to do. So many people had already heard the podcast. Why would they watch the same drama on TV?
Exactly. Just because you don't actually have to have listened to the podcast in first. This is like these people complaining, oh, that movie, the biography, it wasn't historically accurate. Such and such happened over there rather than happening
over there.
I'm
just talking about on a pure entertainment level. I was more entertained by the podcast than I was by the TV show. I found the TV show, it's a very strong story. It's a very strong story, and it's told beautifully in the podcast. They drop the ball all over the shop with the TV show. They turn it into a daytime soap, and it doesn't do the story justice.
Okay, seeing as I've turned everything back to front tonight, what is your pick of the week?
Oh my
goodness. Alison could slag that off in turn.
Pick of the week. It starts tomorrow night, 9:30 on TG Cahir. It is called Jump Girls, and it examines the key role that women are making now in the world of racing. It's the only sport, really.
Horse racing.
Horse racing, yeah. So it follows the likes of Rachel Blackmore, Katie Walsh, Lisa O'Neill, Katie O'Farrell, Jessica Harrington's in it. So it's telling the story, the incredible success story.
She's a trainer, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
The trainer, Jessica Harrington, and tells just the incredible success story of women in racing in a very male-dominated world. And it tells it beautifully. First part tomorrow, repeated this weekend, second part next week.
What are the odds the bookies are giving that I'm going to slag you off for picking that now?
4-1 on.
Okay, well, let's get back to, now that we've had our picks of the week, Netflix is suddenly cancelling shows, and people are up in arms about some of the choices of what they're cancelling. What's going, Alison?
Okay, so why are we surprised? Netflix are proving that they're modelling themselves on a business model more similar, I think, to a TV network instead of that of a streaming service. So if numbers are low, they're going to axe the programme. If numbers are low, then you've got to go. So they're cancelling, they're on a cancelling spree, really. They've now axed all of their Marvel offerings. They didn't have an ownership stake in any of the Marvel TV series they did. Disney did, and they had to pay massive fees in order to retain the rights to stream this product. Disappointingly, Night Flyers, which was only released last week based on a series of short series by George R. R. Martin, it was actually filmed in Limerick's Troy Studios. That's not going to be back for a second series. A series of unfortunate events. Girl Boss, Orange is the New Black. They've all been axed.
But I think Orange is the New Black had run out of steam long ago,
absolutely,
didn't
it? But that brings it back to the point, Matt. If they're not bringing in and they're not generating massive numbers, you know, we're looking at Bird Box at 80 million streams. We're looking at You. Stop.
Rubbish.
Okay, at 80 million, you know, the numbers don't lie. And if they're
hang on. They're not independently audited. This is the one thing for Netflix. We don't know really how
they don't publish their figures, but you can be sure they know what the figures are.
Oh, yeah.
And that the attrition rate is going to be very high for Netflix because just the amount of TV series that they produce and at the cost that they do, they are known for lavish production costs. So it's only going to be natural. And the uproar you're probably hearing, it's no mistake that it's all Marvel stuff that's getting dumped because Disney Plus is coming out. There's going to be a Disney streaming service, so they'll probably live there. And of course, all the nerds are up in arms because all their favourite superheroes are being moved. But they'll be fine.
It's a good indication of all of the conflicts now that are going to arise with Disney competing with HBO streaming, which is competing with Apple TV streaming services that are coming on board. Netflix got there first, and now it's costing them too much to fight it out.
And
with
some of the best
ones.
Stuff on Netflix is still the old stuff that they bought in from other people rather than making originally themselves.
Exactly. Friends. I mean, it's changed the game, you know. And I think that, again, the attrition rates, they're going to dump. I mean, House of Cards, thank God, probably came to an end. I mean, that's no loss to anyone.
Petered out. Not only petered out, he just died to death.
And it's probably been a bit more brutal on these TV series. American TV, I mean, every week in, week out, I'm here bemoaning the fact that TV series go on too long in the States. Netflix are...
Well, listener here says, Dirty John is riveting, says Lisa. But another one says, Dirty John is about 6 episodes too long. Basic story stretched out way too long with the drippiest of drippy character portrayed by Connie Britton. Don't bother, says that listener. What about Arrested Development coming back for a 5th season? Let's just hear a clip of what was once a classic.
So, we gotta wait about 48 hours before we declare you missing and they put out an APB.
APB? Ah, poor Buster.
That's nice.
Well, you gotta lay low long enough for Mom and Dad to hear about it. And pal, I would take you with me, but truth is, I don't know if I'm gonna come back.
Oh.
What's so funny?
You always come back to save the family, Michael. We joke about that all the time.
Well, I don't know what the joke is, okay? I've always been trying to do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Michael, and I came here to save everyone, so I feel special about myself, even though you don't deserve it, so I'm leaving and I won't be coming back.
Jason Bateman and Tony Hale. I used to love Arrested Development, and then I just sort of...
First 3 series up there with the best comedy of this generation. You know, a really smart, surreal... Supremely funny, great performances, what a great cast. Of course, Tony Hale, I think, David Cross there, Jason Bateman, and Jeffrey Tambor, who got into a bit of strife recently when it was revealed that he was very verbally abusive to Jessica Walter, who plays the mother in the
Who is scene. Magnificent.
She's phenomenal
in
it, you know, and I think then some of the fellas came out and didn't stand up for her, and then there was a bit of back and forth about that. But the first 3 series are unmissable. You know, if you haven't seen it, do get on it immediately. Don't bother with the 4th. Certainly don't bother with the first half of the 5th. It is an ever-decreasing return of quality here. And I just, again, as I say each and every week, American TV needs to know when to stop.
Connor Murphy tweets, Colin Farrell did season 2 of True Detective, but I can understand why you might want to forget that. I said it wrong. He's not returning to TV. He's returning to the BBC. 21 years after Ballykiss Angel.
Oh, it's bad, eh?
Bad enough.
Not there?
No.
There?
No, it's just the ribs.
I'd say you're a lucky young man.
How would you say that, then?
You got those injuries falling off your horse. You could have broken your neck.
I didn't get them falling off my horse.
I thought you said...
I fell off Mr. Dillon's horse. Or is it Miss Dillon's horse? And again, it was my horse at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, I understand.
Well, what's the score, then? When will I be fit enough to get out of here?
I want to get those ribs x-rayed at the hospital. Can you drive him into Kildargan tomorrow, 9 o'clock?
I can't, surely, Doctor.
Right. Take 1 3 times a day. They'll minimise the pain. But take it easy. Now, that rib can crack. And if it does, it'll be like a knife driven into your chest.
I have to say it. I actually don't think I ever saw Ballykiss Angel.
I absolutely loved Ballykiss Angel.
Why?
It just, you know, it was just warm hug television. It made me proud to be Irish.
Stage Irish,
I know, I just,
for the sounds
honestly,
of it.
I just loved it. It made Wicklow and Ireland look beautiful. And I loved Dervla Kerman. She gave me some very
what
happy
age
moments.
Are you?
I would have been in my mid-teens.
Oh, yeah, that explains it.
Why?
Well, just I know where you lived in your mid-teens. There was nothing really else going on.
I lived in Ballykiss Angel, essentially, yeah.
Essentially.
It was like a documentary to me.
Okay.
And Mill Street is much nicer than that.
It is much, much nicer, as your lovely wife will attest to.
Okay, what's he doing, Colin Farrell? He's going back to the BBC to do what?
Yeah, well, it's a far cry from his upcoming role in Dumbo, I have to say. That's out for release in March of this year. Colin Farrell is going to play a psychopath for an upcoming 4-part BBC Two drama called The North Water. And this is based on the book, which was actually longlisted for the Man Booker Prize in 2016. Yeah, he's a harpooner and, quote, a brutish killer, Henry Drax. And to be honest, I've read a couple of bits about him and he sounds absolutely...
Sounds great.
Grim. Yeah, you say great, I say grim. It's, he gets himself on board a boat. It's going into the Arctic area and he is crazy town.
So it's a
very dark.
Yeah, it's a whaling expedition to the Arctic and is joined by a disgraced ex-army surgeon called Patrick Sumner, who's Irish actually in the book. So what they go on to, they get together on this ship that's going to the Arctic. Little do they realise that the owner of the ship is contriving with the pilot of the ship or the captain of the ship to sink it for the insurance money. So this is all happening unbeknownst to what is a psychotic killer and a disgraced army surgeon. And apparently it looks grim, grey, full of murderous glares, and I'm going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people texting and giving out about True Detective 2, which I have to admit, I saw True Detective 1, haven't seen True Detective 2. I believe True Detective 3 is worth watching. But in fairness to Colin Farrell, he has phenomenal screen presence.
He's worked with some of the biggest directors in the world.
He's made some bad career choices perhaps on the way, but his body of work, he has some great stuff.
Yeah, I could watch him all day long.
He has. Well, I loved him in... Alison, please. Intermission, I think, still is his best role. In Bruges, maybe next. And I loved Minority Report. He's very good in that. He's a very good actor and he's very likable. I just hope in this role he brings his accent
was
back. It's when he's at his best.
Was it Troy? Up. Troy that just...
No, it was... another one. It was Alexander.
Alexander. I think he was riding that
his
wave.
His hair dyed blonde by Oliver Stone.
Sun
yes.
in. He had a bucket of sun in his hair. Bad highlights.
Saint-Tropez.
Yeah, as it wasn't a highlight of his career. And I think he suffered from that in terms of big Hollywood moves anyway. But he's made some very clever career moves. The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yes.
That's incredible. The Lobster, I loved The Lobster. I think he's very good and very suited to those roles. Something a little darker with a twist. So yeah, he'll be good in this.
And it's also, I have to say, on interviewing him, he's a very nice fellow to interview as well. Okay, both of you know, we're going to talk about Sesame Street. Very quick answer. Your favourite Sesame Street character, Ed?
It has to be Elmo, straight up, yeah.
Okay, and yours?
I have two. They're Bert and Ernie.
Oh.
They're just, well, they're my Ballycasangela. They're like a warm hug.
We're talking about them because it's 50 years of Sesame Street. Let's hear a little bit of Bert and Ernie go fishing.
Ah, oh, gee, Ernie. An hour on this lake and not one bite.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the fishes?
Oh, they're down there, Bert.
Yeah.
Sure. If you'd like, I'll catch some and show you.
Oh, you will?
Mm-hmm.
Easy as that.
Sure.
Ha! Huh. Okay, here's a pole. Go ahead, show me.
I don't need a fishing pole, Bert.
What?
Mm-mm.
Well, how are you going to catch all these fishes without a fishing pole?
Oh, you see, I call them. I have this special fish call, and they come right into the boat.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
You call them?
Mm-hmm.
He calls them. That's rich. This I got to see. Go ahead.
Sure,
call
well,
them.
You see, Bert, I have to call them really loud, though, so
yeah.
they can hear.
Yeah.
You know, the fish are under the water.
Sure.
And so you have to call real loud so they can hear you through the water, you
sure,
know?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I call them like this. Fishy, fishy, fishy! One fish?
There isn't a person in the country that doesn't have a smile on their face now just listening to that. That
it's
is
iconic.
The genius. That
it's
is the
iconic.
Genius. It sounds like Matt and Ivan after the show. I think that's how you live.
No, we're normally compared to the two Muppets. No, yeah. I love
it's 50 years old. They did some research on Sesame Street in the US. And they found that whether you're in a red state or a blue state, a northern state or a southern state, that Sesame Street really does unite. It reaches 150 million people a week, Matt, most of them children. And they've really, I think, mastered how to be relevant in the digital age. So I did a bit of a deep dive and I looked at Peppa Pig's YouTube channel, 15 million views on about 12 videos in a week. And Sesame Street are holding their own, less videos because they're episodic, and very inclusive. And I just think positive messaging that you'd be, you know, happy. I think Peppa Pig is a bit of a... she's annoying, but I think
it's such a nothing show.
Yeah, but she's a bit of a brat, Peppa. Yeah. You know, she's a brat.
Rude.
She's very rude.
Given out to Cormac and Tip says it's Ernie and Bert, not Bert and Ernie.
It's Bert and Ernie.
What's his name?
Cormac and Tipperary.
Cormac.
Tipperary and Cormac.
Is that yeah, is that what the way you pronounce? Well, like, what way do you pronounce your name? Come on, Cormac.
Let's hear a little bit more of Sesame Street. This is where Oscar the Grouch and Macklemore duet.
I'm gonna pop some trash. Only got 7 bags in my trash can. I'm shopping, looking for some rubbish.
One,
this
two,
is
one,
gross
two.
And awesome.
Wouldn't you like to rock a fish hanging noodle?
A fish.
Wouldn't you like to wear the kit and caboodle?
Caboodle.
Do you have a skunk stole with the prune pit?
Huh?
One grouch is trash, that's another grouch's outfit.
I'm gonna pop some trash. Only got 7 bags in my trash can. I'm shopping, looking for some rubbish.
Come on.
This is gross and awesome.
I remember the episode where they took you into Oscar's bin. Do you remember that?
Well, see, the genius and the lies in the genesis of Sesame Street, because it was set up to provide preschool education for kids that couldn't afford preschool.
Yeah.
So these are for the kids that live in the inner city. And I remember watching as a kid, and it really is of the street. Oscar the Grouch lives in a bin. You see brownstone buildings in New York City. It really shows the urban life of many of the kids that couldn't afford, whose parents couldn't afford to send them to preschool. This was their school. And I think that it was so inclusive. 1975 was the first kid show to show to bring somebody on who had Down syndrome. It has had characters with AIDS. It's had autism. It's had a homeless character since December. It is one of the most remarkable achievements in television.
Okay, one listener says modern kids would just Google how to get to Sesame Street. Okay.
Alexa, use Google Maps. Alexa, how do I get to Sesame Street?
Turn left.
Turn left.
And Ed Smith, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.